on number five, and spring bear season briefing, public hearing, and there's an opportunity for public comment on this one, and I have one, so. Denise, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. I think we have the wrong presentation.
Red.
Could you snag me a water while you're there?
Well, that's magical, I'll tell you.
Good morning again. Today I'll be presenting WAC 220-415-80, spring black bear season and regulations. The summary outlines requirements related to participating in spring special permit seasons. Successful harvest applies towards the annual two bear bag limit. So the way we have black bears are based on bear management units. We have nine of them in the state, and they're outlined here on this map. So the way our spring bear season is by permit only, and it's usually used for areas where we have either timber issues or we are trying to help ungulate species with low reproductive rates. So those are the two, kind of the two categories they fall in. Some of the adjusted changes we are proposing, given that most of the west side permits are on timberland that is usually experiencing timber damage. We do have the Kapausen hunt area, which will be closing because that landowner no longer wants to allow hunters on that property. So that precludes us from having those permits. Another change is a technical edit, basically to realign boundaries to clarify them and to indicate that U.S. Forest Service lands are excluded from that hunt. Again, those are hunts that are specifically designed to deal with timber damage issues. In the southeastern part of the state, we are recommending some increases in permits on specific GMUs, and this is designed to help with elk reproductive rates to increase calf production, basically. The Blue Creek GMU 154, we're recommending adding three permits. The Dayton GMU, we're recommending adding three permits as well. So these are going from 15 to 18. The Winaha GMU, 45 to 60, adding 15 permits. The Mountain View GMU, going from 15 to 24, adding nine permits. And then the Little Creek GMU, again, adding three permits. And we've also added a new area this year with five permits. This is also to distribute hunters into new areas where we have calving elk. The rationale, basically, for this recommendation is 38 additional permits distribute hunters in areas where ungulate survival is a concern, intended to have hunters focus on bears in calving areas, which may be beneficial to the elk calf survival. Based on five-year average harvest, we expect to harvest an additional seven bears with these permits. So it's not a large amount of increase in harvest. So the slide here basically shows the net change in permits, given that we're closing one unit that has 150 permits and then adding those 38 permits, basically 112 permit reduction overall in the spring bear hunting. This map kind of shows you the distribution. So the area in the southeast, the blue area is the area being added, and then the area delineated in red in the center of the state is the area being removed because of access issues. So we've also added language into our rule to include mandatory reporting of harvest within 72 hours of kill. We currently do not have mandatory pelt check on bears. We do have it on cougars. This is a way for us to start doing that because these are permit seasons. There's fewer of them, and the workload would not be as high. We would like to eventually look into mandatory reporting for all harvests, but we wanted to look at workload, and this is a one way to get to it in a stepwise manner. So the rationale for pelt sealing is basically it improves our harvest data, improves the quality of the harvest data, and provides for better understanding of sex and age classes in the harvest. And it also gets to the reproductive rates, because you can tell whether from the pelt whether females were lactating or not, and whether cubs were underground. So that gives us a lot better information for which to manage our spring bear hunt. Again, I already mentioned it, that we can get evidence of sex, which allows us, the department, to monitor the number of reproductive females and the such. So some of the public comments that we received 139 comments, 138 were online and one letter, 42 supported in general. The ones that were in opposition of the pelt sealing majority. There were a few that were in opposition of spring bear in general for a multitude of season. So some oppose a mandatory pelt check. Potential for orphaning cubs was also one that was mentioned, and the potential to lose hunters because we're requesting them to bring the pelts. So they felt that was an onerous thing to ask hunters. Those are the recommendations for the spring bear hunting. I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Lidwell.
Do you have any sense for, I also have concerns around orphaning cubs in the spring. Do you have any sense around how prevalent that is, or how big of a concern? And I'm just kind of asking for a sense. I know.
Sure. I don't really have a sense, to be honest. I mean, we do know from the harvest, because it is reported, what the percentage females in the harvest are, but how many of them have cubs that heal is really hard to say. So no, I don't have a sense for it. We do say in our rules that not to shoot females with cubs, and I don't think there are any hunters out there that would want to orphan cubs. So it's, I think people that do hunt in the spring look very hard before they pull the trigger, and then the pelt sealing information will actually give us a lot better information on that, and that is one of the reasons we've added it, is to try to get a sense of that through the harvest.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes. A couple of comments. First off, with regard to the Kapausen change, is that a long-term change on the part of the landowner?
Likely, yes.
When would they revisit that? Could they make a request to have an increase in the future?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we revisit these permits annually, so if their position changes, this could change, yes.
But that's probably not likely.
Not likely, no.
And was it an access issue, or was it?
Yeah, they didn't feel the program was helping them to the extent that the access was. So it was just kind of a cost benefit analysis on their point of view. I can't speak to their. Okay. Their need. So, I mean, it was their decision, not ours. So.
Okay. Secondly, with regard to the blues and the increase permits over there, and it was justified around concern about elk populations and neonate impact. To what extent, or how comfortable are you that impact is bear-driven versus cats or wolves?
So, I mean, how comfortable? So we base, there are studies in that area that indicate how many calves, you know, are taken by bears and other things. Obviously, I'm not saying bears are the only issue. They are one of the predators on the landscape, and, you know, we are only talking about bear season at this point. So if are there other predators that are taking calves? Obviously there are. To what extent? We don't have more recent information on that.
I guess following up on that, my concern is that that additional information seems very critical as it relates to concerns that the commission is dealing with regarding cougars and wolves, and trying to understand what's happening to that elk population there seems to be critical, and that it's not, I wouldn't want to stop just with, you know, thought that maybe bear is the primary predator impact. I'd like to have a good handle on the elk population overall, and whether or not these other predators are causing some problems. And I don't know how to phrase the question, but it.
So yeah, I mean, to address your concern, we are looking at that. But right now, the spring bear lure comes at this time because of the season and when people have to apply for the bear.
I got that.
The bear permit. So we are not. This isn't an all-inclusive, I guess, predator management presentation. It's only dealing with spring bear. And by dealing with spring bear, we're bringing you recommendations to address that issue for spring bear only. Now, yeah, we are looking at other issues affecting those elk herds, and we haven't come to a conclusion yet of what the other predators may be affecting it.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that, obviously, and looking forward to hearing more about the additional analysis.
Commissioner Thorburn?
Just to kind of add to some of the points that Jim, I think, is making, I want to express my enthusiastic support for the reporting requirements that are involved in this. I think it's going to provide us with valuable data on a hunt where there is this concern. Are we killing moms with cubs at heel? You emphasized that this is really a hunt that is fashioned as much for conflict as for opportunity. I know it's a popular hunt with bear hunters, but in that line, we do handle bear conflict in other ways, and we've been working on that. We haven't heard anything, but there was a working group that was put together, and we've been proceeding on changing that, and I just want to raise that, and maybe you can talk a little bit about how the two complement one another.
Certainly. Two different methods of one way is dealing with population dynamics, and the other one is dealing with the specific bears that are peeling. So that's so when we talk in conflict, we're talking peeling of trees. So that the I guess I want to separate the ungulate part of it from the peeling. Most of the west side hunts are designed to try to deal with population levels of bears in areas where peeling is an issue. We do have a program that deals with individual bears that are peeling, where we issue permits to landowners to pursue those individual bears, either using hounds or other methods. There was a lawsuit on that program, and we were not able to use that tool last year. We have since, I guess, had a favorable decision from the court, and it looks like we still have that tool. There is a pending, any other litigation. We are going to move forward with that program. We are hoping to convene a group of stakeholders and then maybe codify some of the things that we currently have in our permits and put them more into rules. So the time frame for that is still open, just because the litigation just barely wrapped up. So we're just basically re-looking at how we're going to move forward with all of that. So I don't have more to share on that process than that. But obviously that tool is still in our toolbox. We use it in specific areas that deal with a specific animal.
Thanks. Commissioner Linville?
I'm curious what the reporting would look like. Is this the hunter driving to a department office, or how?
Yes.
That's a pretty tight window.
It's actually 5 days after they report the harvest. So 72 hours to report it, and then they have 5 days
So
it's actually a very long time frame. It's a lot quicker right now for the cougar reporting. So when we do it for all cougars are mandatory currently, and they're not by permit. This is just a permit only, and harvest is fairly limited. So yeah, it is an additional burden on the hunter, but it will get us information that will help us maintain the ability to have a spring bear hunt, because spring bear hunting is very controversial, and so the more information we have, the better we're able to manage those hunts.
So kind of on top of that, because it's also I'm very much in favor of getting that data, so don't hear me the wrong way. We know, like, it's also a burden on department staff as well. And right. Do you have the department staff at the likely locations to handle it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's only 500 or so permits, and then harvest rate is, a fairly low. So we're only expecting roughly a couple of hundred animals to be harvested through all of this hunting. So I think we do have, and this is a way for us to gauge what capacity we have if we do want to move into the same concept under the general season framework. So that's kind of our dipping our toe in the water, so to speak, to see how it would work. And if we find that it is a workload issue, we may do it for a few years, get the information, and then back off of it. But I don't think it will be a workload issue.
Back a minute to the damage peeling hunts, which are separate from the recreational hunts. My question is there any agreements in place? For instance, in Kapausen, now they are going to shut their they're going to shut down bear hunting there. But if they have peeling issues, will we go in and do hunts on that property to alleviate that? Or since they've shut it down, do we say no? Do we have contractual or otherwise agreements in place in that regard?
No, we do not. So, if they do have issues in specific areas, we will go in and we will help them with that issue.
Okay. We have one individual for open public comment. Then we'll move forward on this. Sophia Ressler.
Barbara, that's a good question. If there's some leverage.
Nice handwriting, Sophia. I wish I could do as well anywhere.
Oh, sorry about that. My name is Sophia Ressler. I'm here on behalf of the Center for Biological Diversity. As most of you already know, we're a nonprofit conservation group. We have over 1.6 million members and supporters, and over 36,000 of those are in Washington State. I'll focus on just one of the things in the presentation first. Our members and supporters are obviously also very concerned about cub stranding, so we appreciate the idea of getting more information about that in order to figure out, what's going on and how we might be able to prevent that further. But I also want to just talk high level. In May of this year, I sent a letter to the commission asking the commission to postpone the decision on the 2009 fall bear hunting rule in order to review a forthcoming study that we had gotten wind of, which supposedly contained information that showed that Washington's black bear numbers were much lower than previously believed. I'm not aware of this study having been released at present, but I admit that I haven't been paying very close attention, so I apologize if that has been released and I just haven't seen it yet. But regardless of whether that study has been released or not, the fall bear hunting decision was made without review of that study. And I just want to use that example simply to urge the commission to use the best available science in making these wildlife management decisions. And if that means postponing votes a little to have that new new information, I would strongly urge the commission to do so and to consider the study that I referred to in making these spring hunting rules. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Baker.
I want to thank Sophia for that suggestion. That was an issue that I raised when we did, when we approved the fall bear hunt, and I was the only person to vote against that. But this is a question for Anise then, because I asked the question then, and I believe, just thinking back on it, that the answer was that those the studies that were coming out, well, first off, hasn't been released, and second of off, I was fairly assured that the study wasn't a population study, that it was about other things. So can you address that, Anise?
Certainly. Yeah, so the research was done in-house. So, I mean, we have that information, and we always base our decisions on the information that we have. The study has not been published yet, but has been accepted. And the study is not a statewide population level. It looked at two different areas in the state and gave us a density for those areas. From that study, we've decided to do more monitoring in more parts of the state to get a density estimate of bears statewide. So we do not have a statewide density estimate based on those studies. We have population estimates for those areas where they conducted those studies. And then it does show a different density than we have seen, but it's actually higher on the east side than when we based it on before, and a little bit lower on the west side than we based it before. So to extrapolate that to statewide, it would be a false approach to take. So yeah, we do have studies that show that densities vary, and so from that, what we took is we need to be managing differently, and we are starting to monitor cougar populations with the same methodology around the state, and it'll be a rotating system where we get to eventually the entire state and figure out what densities are.
Bear,
I'm sorry, what did I say? Cougar, yeah. Sorry, I've got cougar on the brain.
We have a comment from Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Denise. You said it's been accepted, but it hasn't been published yet. Right?
Correct, yeah.
And do you know the pub date on that? Or?
I don't. I just reviewed a version of it, and I know that's...
Could you share that when it comes out with us? Because
yes.
I think it would be beneficial reading.
Yeah, thank you. You bet.
Okay, good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well...